Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
For the remainder of this first hour, we're joined by Pastor Larry Peters. Christians sing. I believe it or not, last night's Monday night service at the congregation I serve in a small town in southern Illinois. It's usually sparsely attended, but last night being the holiday week was especially sparsely attended. We sang a great hymn, one we're actually going to be studying later this week with Dr. Arthur Just. The hymn was Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, tuned by Rayfon Williams. And even with three or four people, they were singing it loud. Some Christians sing. Some have taken to just listening to others sing, praise band style. Pastor Larry Peters joins us to talk about the importance of Christian singing. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Sing. Pastor Peters, welcome back.
Thanks.
Will you just briefly tell us the story of your dad and a pastor who pretty much stopped your dad from singing as a Christian for good?
Well, on the prairie of Nebraska, it was a custom that the confirmands sang a hymn by themselves on their confirmation day. And in my dad's case, it was even prior to the hymnal 1941, the Lutheran hymnal. Anyway, they were practicing the hymn with their pastor listening, and he walked around, you know, standing by each voice. He came to my dad, and he said, don't sing. He says, you sound like a sick cow. And, of course, you know, it's enough of an affliction for teenage, pre-teenage kids to stand in front of a congregation packed with family and friends on their confirmation day without having a pastor tell you, you sound like a sick cow. So my dad moved his lips, but he did not sing. And pretty much that's the way it's been for most of his life, because he took pretty seriously what his pastor told him.
So what is the purpose of Christian singing as opposed to any other kind of singing or song that we encounter in our world or culture?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, you have to go back to, you know, the gift of music itself, a precious and wonderful gift that comes from God. Luther tells us in so many different ways and so many different quotes that this is the one of the most costly treasures given to mankind by God. Its purpose, you know, primarily, certainly we wouldn't diminish its use for pleasure, but its purpose primarily is a medium of praise to be used in the context of worship. And the uniqueness of the song is that first of all, many voices come together and become literally one voice in song. And the second thing is that the faith that we speak is put to tune, and the text and the tune together become something even larger. And it has the ability to literally almost be a magnet to our mind and to our hearts in conveying Scripture to us, and in giving us a soundtrack to the faith, literally.
I mentioned this, at least for that service, the very small group of people gathered and still singing, albeit just a couple verses of a great hymn. And I wonder, it's one thing, as you depict in your article, it's one thing to be gathered together with 1,000 voices all singing in unison, and just the sheer magnitude of the auditory experience is enough to move even someone who couldn't understand the words. Make again that connection for us, regardless of whether it's few or many voices, between music and the Word of God.
Well, I think sometimes we're tempted to focus on the aesthetic, you know, on the perfection of the sound. And in the same way, we're tempted to focus on you know, the size of the chorus, you know, or the hugely assembled choir in perfect unison as being the goal. But really, as a medium of praise, what is at work here is the blending of whatever voices are there together as one voice in a way that literally gives us the opportunity to sing Scripture. And in doing so, to use that wonderful quote from Norman Nagel in the introduction to Lutheran worship, we literally sing back to God what He has said to us. And in doing so, the faith is confirmed in our hearts and confirmed in our lives, not only as individuals, but in our life together as a community of faith.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with Pastor Larry Peters talking about the importance of Christian singing on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 23rd.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
You'll find Christ-centered, cross-focused sermons from the Old Testament in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, the Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. These sermon texts are written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more about this resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. We're talking about the importance of Christian singing. I'm Todd Wilkin. Before the break, you were making the distinction between kind of mere musical appreciation, which much of Christian music is you know, if only on the aesthetic level, is marvelous, rivals anything the culture has ever produced, and exceeds it by a fair shot. But it is so easy to fall into that trap of simply appreciating the sound, the poetry, the melody, the harmony, all of those things. What is the purpose of music in general in the church, Pastor Peters?
Well, it certainly the music itself is not the master. You know, the text is the master. The word of God is the master. But the word married to that melody literally becomes the song that you can carry with you. In a way, it's as if God has hardwired us for music. And we do it all the time naturally. We sing in cars, we sing in showers, we sing the pop hits from the radio, we sing the old songs. I mean, we sing naturally. And God by design, created us with this gift, with this opportunity to use our voices, to use the gift of music to praise him by literally singing back to him his own words spoken to us. And in that respect, I love the phrase, the soundtrack to our faith. We have soundtracks to musics, we have soundtrack music or to movies, I should say. We have soundtrack to TV shows. We all have our favorite soundtracks that we carry around on our iPods. Well, there's a soundtrack to faith as well, and music is that medium through which Scripture evokes the feelings of the heart, while at the same time being true to the Word of God and speaking it in a way that it sticks with us, literally like glue.
Barry is listening in Pennsylvania. He's on the line. Thanks for waiting, Barry.
Hi, yes, I had a question. You know, besides the praise, I think the praise is extremely important. Hymns give us a chance to internalize and externalize the Word of God, both to give it and to receive it and to stamp it into our hearts. Do you have any comments on hymns with little or no scriptural content?
That is a great question. Do you have a specific example, Barry?
You know, I mean, I've just heard so much fluff music over the years. You get into especially some of these, modern services that some of even our Lutheran churches have. And, you know, there's just no content. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. You know, that's not really the scriptures. It's just sort of a chant that they do to make themselves feel good.
Barry, thank you very much for listening in Pennsylvania. Your thoughts, Pastor Peters?
Well, certainly, you know, Lutherans are not the strict Calvinists of old who said that the only things that we can sing are literally paraphrases or word for word drawn from Scripture. And I think, you know, there are ways in which music is used as to form response. A number of the great hymns in Lutheran service book can't be tied to any one particular text or any one particular story, and yet they evoke our response to that word. And I think that's one level of music that hymns, songs of faith that may not be directly tied to a particular scripture. I think what the commentator is saying, though, is that there has to be substantial word in this. In other words, it is the faith that is being communicated here. We're not just reflecting our feelings of the moment, whether they be great and wonderful or deep and sorrowful. We are tying these things to what it is we believe, teach, and confess. And sometimes you'll find hymns that literally sing the scriptures almost verse for verse right off the page. And in other cases, you find images that are profound and evocative of stories from Scripture, so that in a phrase or two or a line or two or a stanza or two, you have whole sections of Scripture that literally touch base with our hearts as we sing them with our voices.
Somebody says, look, you talked before about your dad sounding to that pastor like a sick cow. Someone says, Pastor Peters, I do sound like a sick cow. I can't carry a tune. I disrupt congregational singing if I try and sing along. I can't hear how bad I am, but everybody else can. What do you say to such a person?
Well, first of all, there's a difference between, you know, standing there apart. And you know, there are people who can't sing, not just because they can't sing the notes, but we have a member of our congregation, for example, who has asthma problems, and it's a struggle to breathe, much less to expend the air to sing. Well, at the very same time the congregation around that person is singing, I think it's important, you know, move your lips, be a part of the community of faith, read those words, and if you can't sing with your lips, you sing with your heart, you sing with your mind, the same melody in a different way. One of the great tragedies of being a pastor sometimes is that you're looking at people and you see them in a different way than people see themselves. And one of the sad things are the number of people that you see who do not even bother to open a hymnal on Sunday morning. They maybe they can't sing. Maybe they just don't want to sing, whatever the reason. But when they do that, then they stand outside that community of faith. And you don't have to be loud. You don't even have to sing out at all in order to still be part of that community of singers. And you can do what I've told many people to do, and that's follow along word for word and sing with your heart and with your mind, if you cannot with your voice.
So let's talk about striving for some excellence in the church. Not every congregation can put together a professional sounding choir. Many of them sound like the amateurs that they are, and I think that many people are accustomed to. Then there are times when the church can draw from far and wide into its great talent and really produce something that is not only great music, but great Christian music. Talk about that, if you would.
There are so many opportunities we have available to us today to hear the wonderful sounds of choir and instruments and organ, all different avenues, old familiar hymns, great choral works, Bach and so on, as well as contemporary sounds. We can carry these with us in a way that other generations, you know, could never even think about. I think it's important to ask every individual Christian, what's the soundtrack of your faith? And the truth is, too often as Lutherans, we listen to music that, if it doesn't directly conflict with what we believe, teach, and confess, it certainly doesn't flow from what we believe, teach, and confess. We have access to, I listen to hymns, I listen to the music of the church literally every day in my office. I listen to it in my car when I drive. I have that. I have the CDs of great choirs. I have wind symphonies. I have the great classics that speak the faith in the bold words of one of the Bach Passions, for example. All sorts and different kinds of ways to carry the soundtrack with us, because I think that strengthens and confirms our lives in the faith. It helps us to remain deeply rooted and enduring when there are all sorts of other things pressing in. Now, does that mean that, you know, that's the only music I listen to? Of course not. But I do think it's important that Christians carry the soundtrack of faith with them, and that needs to that certainly is available to us today in a way that was never available to generations before us.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds, just make a simple case for Christian song, Christian singing.
Well, we all know that there's no easier way to remember something than to versify it and put a melody to it. And so when God gives us this gift of song, He's giving us not only the ability to respond to Him, but also to carry the message with us. I can't think of how many different places I've gone, an older person in a nursing home, in a hospital room, and they may not remember one line from a sermon, but they can carry the faith with them deeply in the text and the sound of a hymn of old, one of the great familiar things that they have carried with them that now becomes comfort, encouragement, and literally the song of hope to them in their darkest moments.
Pastor Larry Peters is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Sing. We'll also put a link to his excellent blog called Pastoral Meanderings under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thank you very much, Pastor Peters.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great day and a great Thanksgiving.
You as well. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll spend the entire hour talking about simultaneously saint and sinner, the old man, the new man, the old Adam, the new Adam. There are many different ways that the Bible talks about this reality for the Christian. So on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 23rd, Pastor Eric Rotman will be our guest. He joins us here in the studio. We'll be talking about being simultaneously saint and sinner. How are we to properly understand the struggle that the Christian goes through every day? He is, at one time, the old Adam, constantly being put to death, constantly desiring to flee from God, to rebel against God, and at the same time, the new man who is forever arising in Christ's resurrection and living before God in absolute purity and innocence. We'll answer those questions on the other side of the break, live this Tuesday afternoon, November the 23rd. Pastor Eric Rotman in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.